This podcast is sponsored by Edemotic, makers of earphones, headsets, and hearing protection, found at edemotic.com. The bonds you create when you're marching drum corps stay with you your entire life. This is Tim Hinton, and on this podcast, I invited three of my best friends from my days marching with the Phantom Regiment to join me to catch up and reminisce about our days on the field in the early 80s. We talk about how marching drum corps changed us for the better and expanded our horizons.
What kind of hits home for me is just, you know, there was the practice, the music, obviously, the shows. There was, more than anything, was the camaraderie. I personally learned a lot about people that I've been able to use for the rest of my life. And it's just opened up the windows to a very diverse set of people, much more diverse than I would have gotten if I had stayed in that cornfield in Illinois.
I think about that a lot when I look back at old pictures from back in the day, and the first thought that comes to mind is, how did this group of mutts put together the performance that we did, you know, and excel?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what Regiment did for all of us as well, was to teach us to take all these different personalities and, you know, have one common goal in mind.
We share lots of stories of the fun times, crazy times, great performances, and challenging performances. We talk about what it was that gave us this bond that still ties us together 30 years later.
We lived a lot of life in a very compressed amount of time. We were all run through all of the emotions, through all kinds of physical stresses, but the emotional stress with the competition and the practice and just getting everything right. And then that cycle of after the stress, you know, after a show, getting on the bus and just cracking up, or, you know, on a free day, just letting loose. Everybody all has the same agenda, and it's really emotionally bonding. I think that's the main thing.
I think any drum corps fan will enjoy hearing us talk about marching with the Phantom Regiment in the early 80s. Great drum corps friends from the Phantom Regiment on the Marching Roundtable. This podcast is sponsored by Edemotic, found at edemotic.com. That's Etymotic.com. The name Edemotic means true to the ear. Mead Killian, PhD, founded Edemotic Research in 1983 to design products that accurately assess hearing, improve the lives of those with hearing loss, protect hearing, and enhance the listening experience of musicians and music lovers everywhere. Edemotic's products are used by scientists, hearing practitioners, hearing impaired consumers, professional and amateur musicians, and others who insist on superior sound quality. Audio engineers, audiologists, and musicians working together have generated over 100 patents issued and pending, and a number of Edemotic's 60 employees are accomplished musicians. There's a special Marching Roundtable discount on earphones and hearing protection. You can find this at edemotic.com/MarchRT. Hey everyone, this is Tim Hinton. Welcome to Marching Roundtable. I am very proud to have been a member of the Phantom Regiment back in the early 80s, and I've been dying to do this podcast tonight. I have three of my great friends from my marching days, so I'll introduce them first. Joe Silburn, how are you?
I'm doing great, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Joe Valenzuela, how are you?
I'm doing great. Great to be here.
Thank you very much. And Mindy, oh gosh, now you have a new last you have a new last name from when I knew you. It's Blankenhorn?
That's correct.
But do you go by Melinda in your daily life now?
I do. I was Mindy in drum corps days, but I'm Melinda now.
You were Mindy Mothershed, right?
Correct.
How did you say it? Did I pronounce it right?
Yes, you did.
Okay. So anybody that's listening, want to make sure they know who you are. So thank you guys so much for being here. I am real excited to get to talk to you, sort of do a little reminiscing about our days back in the regiment. So I'm going to ask you each when you marched and what you played, that kind of basic stuff, just to get out of there. So, Joe Silburn, I'll let you go first because you marched the longest, I think, of all of us.
Sure. I started in 78 in the Phantom Regiment Cadets and then marched from 79 through 83. I still I kind of regret that I left a couple of years on the table there because I had 2 years left before aging out.
But 83, you were done.
Yep.
Of course, that's 5 years. No, that's six years.
Six seasons, yes.
So that's way more than most people get to March or care to March. So I'm impressed.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just an amazing time, obviously.
Yeah. Very cool. All right. So, Mindy, what years did you march and what did you play?
I marched 1981, 82, and 83. The first 2 years I played the flugelhorn, and then they did away with those and I switched to the French horn in 83 and loved it.
Yeah. Very good. And Joe Valenzuela, how are you?
I'm doing great.
In what years did you march?
I marched 81, 82, and I played French horn.
Right. And Joe Silver, you played French horn too.
Yes, I'm sorry. I forgot to.
And you marched French horn all those years, right?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I want to talk, because I don't think anybody uses French horn bugles anymore. Actually, no bugles anyway.
Yeah.
So I missed that because, was it 83 that there were so many French horns on the field? What year was it?
Yeah, I think it was 83, wasn't it?
When it was like the whole middle horn section was French horns. Am I right about that?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Because, see, I thought it was 82, and I pulled out my old regiment yearbooks to look for it. And, Mindy, you weren't in the picture. And I kept going, wait a minute, I know Mindy marched French horn, and you were in the flugel picture, and I was very confused. So I marched 80, 81, 82, but then I came back and was an instructor in 83 for Eminem, the marching. And so I remember, I think that was the year that the whole middle horn section was 12 French horns. Am I right about that?
Six on each side for 1812.
There you go. Awesome.
Yeah.
That was a good show.
Yeah.
So we all, the four of us all marched together in 81 and 82, which, of course, was the original Spartacus years. So that's really cool that we have that in common. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about tonight. Before we get too much into all that, I want to go around one more time. I'll start with you, Joe Silburn. Tell us what you do now. Where do you live now? And what do you do in your real life after Drum Corps?
Oh, well, now I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I work for a major defense contractor as a production operations guy. I've got, thanks to Drum Corps and music scholarships, I've gone on to graduate degrees, and I felt quite fortunate in my career.
Oh, very good. And what about your family?
I've got, a wife and four kids. And all but one of us lives here in the Dallas area also. I have a daughter who performs with Second City in Chicago.
Really?
Nice.
Yes.
Really?
She's
the comedian. Yeah. Yeah. I would strongly recommend.
Well, Joe, you were always the comedian, if I remember. So I think she got that from you.
Hey, what about you?
Me?
Yeah. We used to crack up quite a bit.
Oh, I know. You and I had a great time. That's one of my best memories is you and I being crazy. But that's funny you say that because, like, a lot of my friends now don't necessarily think I'm the funny one. You know, I think I'm hilarious, but nobody else ever seems to.
Go figure.
Yeah, no. Now, Joe, I keep wanting to call you Jose.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because is that not what we called you in the Corps?
I have a nickname.
One of many things,
yeah,
yes.
One of many nicknames.
Oh, because we've got two Joes on the line tonight, but I don't want to call you Jose. I think that may be politically incorrect now.
It doesn't matter.
How about a Joe V and a Joe S?
So Joe Valenzuela, tell us, I know all about you, but tell our listeners, anybody that's listening, where are you and what do you do now?
I live in Laredo, Texas, of all places now. I'm a director of bands for the John B. Alexander High School. And actually I'm fairly new at that. This is my third year, working there. Before that, I worked 20 years, with the Donna Independent School District in the southern tip of Texas.
So I'm not up on my Texas geography. Where is Laredo?
Laredo is right on the border. It's a little bit further, northwest from Brownsville, the very tip of Texas. So it's just, okay. You just follow the Rio Grande up and it's right there.
Yeah. All right, very good. Mindy, tell us about what you do now in your real life.
All right, I live in a northern suburb of Chicago called Libertyville, and I'm a stay-at-home mom, homemaker, which was always my dream. I have an antique business on the side, and I garden a lot when it's nice and warm out.
And you have some, tell us about your family.
All right, got a husband that works at Allstate, two kids, both in college. A boy and a girl. That's about it.
And didn't one of them march drum corps?
They did not. My son.
For some reason, I thought that was the case.
They did not. My daughter actually is in the marching band at her college, which has a lot of drum corps kids in it. So they have a great college band at Murray State, and so she's enjoying that experience.
Oh, very cool. Okay, so. I'm going to throw this out there, everybody, and answer whatever you want to. When you think back on your years, let's say 81, 82, when we were all there together, what's the first thing you think of?
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
Nobody wants to answer that?
Well, that's a tough one because there's so many memories just come, jumping at you all at the same time. Obviously for me it was the opportunity to get to march in a drum and bugle corps. One with the Phantom Regiment that I had seen, I guess, since like 78. The music obviously was a big part of the reason why I decided to try out for a Phantom Regiment. I guess I would say with the music was the first thing that attracted me there.
Yeah, now Joe Silburn, you lived right there in Rockford, am I right?
Fairly close. I was, it's my understanding now they don't even have kids from the area marching in the Corps. But yeah, I lived in a little town called Genoa, just about 40 miles away from Rockford.
That's right. I remember that now. Mm-hmm. So, but it was, yeah, drum corps used to be sort of local, and now it's just everybody comes from everywhere that wants to be in that group.
Yeah, we would meet over the winters. Every Sunday I would make the drive up to Rockford through the snow and everything and practice and get to know Jim Wren's arrangement. And it was a pretty cool process. And now it just looks like they do everything through camps.
Yeah, because everybody can't show up every weekend like that anymore.
No.
I think there's
that. So it was every Sunday?
Yep, every Sunday. And we used to do it Wednesday nights too. So it was twice a week during
the
winter.
Wow. That's really different.
There's actually a mellophone girl this year from Frisco, Texas.
Oh, wow.
Down by Joe.
Yeah.
So, Mindy, am I right? You lived, where were you from when you were in the Corps?
I was from Oskaloosa, Iowa, and I had a competitive high school marching band, so we were familiar with drum corps, and I had always loved the regiment, the classical style, their professionalism, and there were a couple guys from my high school that marched, Ben Bellis. Remember him?
Yep. Yeah, I remember Ben.
Yeah, so I would ride over with him for camps.
So what was this thing where we all had to have nicknames? I wonder if that still goes on, because that was one of the first things I thought of when I thought about talking to all of you guys. Jose, I've already mentioned that's what I remember you were called. I'm sure did you have some others too?
Yes, I did. Something I probably shouldn't mention on here.
maybe that's dangerous territory.
Yes, it is.
Joe Silver, I remember you as Joe Stillborn.
Yes, Stillborn. That's right. Because I could sleep anywhere.
I remember that.
Now, Mindy, you were so sweet. Everybody loved you. In fact, I looked in the regiment yearbook. You were on the list of Miss Congeniality.
Oh, goodness.
Always.
Like most loved. Anyway, did you have a nickname? I don't remember it besides Mindy.
It's Mindy, I think. That's all I knew of.
Joe Silver, you had some others?
Brazali called me Slick one year when I was stepping in the wrong direction. That seemed to stick for a little while.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Yeah, everybody remembers the bad stuff.
Well, and Joe Silver, you also had this uncanny ability to belch.
Yes.
Do you still do that?
Well, yes.
Like, what does your wife think about that? Is that part of your charm?
No, she doesn't care for it as much as we did at the drum corps days. Believe it or not, I'm a grandparent also, and my 2-year-old granddaughter is just in awe when she hears that noise. And
so can you still do it like as loud and deep as you used to?
Yes.
I mean, I have this vivid memory of being in the gym and these sounds coming out of you that were like these ship foghorns.
I remember that too.
This little skeleton stick kid making those giant noises. Yeah.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I'll pass on this question.
You don't have fond memories of all that?
No, I do. I just didn't want you to ask if I had that ability.
Okay, I don't remember that.
No, I don't.
Okay, so that's one of the things I remember. What else do you guys think of about all those years?
I think most, for me, and what kind of hits home for me is just, you know, there was the practice, the music, obviously, the shows. There was, more than anything, was the camaraderie. I mean, we haven't talked like this for 30 years. I mean, we've had conversations on Facebook and, you know, emails and stuff, but I feel completely comfortable and at home. And I couldn't do this with people I've gone to school with. And
Jim Valenzuela, is your phone doing badge of the bone?
I didn't think I was saying anything too sexy.
That's the soundtrack for your dialogue. That's right.
So
anyway, keep going.
So yeah, it's the camaraderie is by far the biggest thing. I don't want to get too mushy or anything, but you know, we just I personally learned a lot about people that I've been able to use for the rest of my life, and it's just opened up the windows to a very diverse set of people, much more diverse than I would have gotten if I had stayed in that cornfield in Illinois.
Very true.
Well, so you're saying that it broadened your ability to, think differently?
Absolutely. Think differently. Just relating with a wide variety of people. And of course, the bus songs we had were pretty awesome. One thing about the camaraderie, too, the thing was that, you know, there was one or two shows every year where you just got those goosebumps, and you knew that you could not possibly have done that show any better, and neither could anybody else around you. And you got off the field and everybody knew it. It was kind of an electric feeling. It was really surreal. You guys probably know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
I think maybe 81 finals was like that.
Yeah. DCI Midwest runoff was like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Where you get off the field and you're like, I don't care what the score was. That's an amazing feeling. I'll march the whole year to feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we have to talk about that DCM runoff in 80. It was 81, right?
Was it 81?
Yes, it was.
No. Maybe it was 82.
82. Yeah.
Maybe 82.
It was 82. Because it was, because that was amazing. In case anybody doesn't know, there was a tie between the regiment and the scouts. And I remember we're standing out there, and then they start to march us off the field. Y'all remember that?
Yeah,
they started to boo us.
What's going on here?
Yeah, and the audience started to boo because they thought we were like walking away in protest or something.
Yep.
And we, of course, were like, "What the hell is going on?" Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was awesome. And then, of course, it turned out that we were going to have a march off.
Well, the freaky part of it for me was that it was in a huge thunderstorm, wasn't it? Wasn't that the one?
I don't think there was thunder, but it was just a downpour.
Big downpour.
Capes were falling off.
Yeah, especially with those capes that we had. God, those things weighed like 50 pounds and they were wet. Right. It's just terrible.
I just remember one of the staff members coming on the buses as we had gone there for shelter, you know, and they said, "Get off the bus, get in the box, we're doing a runoff."
Yeah.
And the electricity just started flowing through everybody.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite all-time performance experience for sure. And I'll never forget, there was this, you know, we had those giant long red capes. You've already mentioned that. And there was a place where we were supposed to reach down and grab it and then pull it up, and our arms went out to the side. Mm-hmm. And I just remember grabbing this giant wad.
Yep.
And just It was so, that was such a fun performance, like in the downpour, in the mud.
Right.
Yeah, super fun.
It was the same way with the flag that we had to take off in the drum solo. I mean, that thing was wet, pretty wet, like just like our capes were, and trying to get that flag off and trying to throw it back, you know, at the same time. That was, yeah, that was, I remember that very well.
Oh, I can beat that. I was one of the ones that had to stuff it into my shirt. Do you guys remember that? The soaking wet flag, and you were supposed to wad it up and stuff it inside your uniform shirt, which was against your body.
Oh my God.
That was crazy.
Wow.
Such a fun show.
It was. You know, Tim, going back to what you were talking to Joe Silborn about, you know, learning about the variety of people, I think about that a lot when I look back at old pictures from back in the day. And the first thought that comes to mind is, how did this group of mutts put together the performance that we did, you know, in Excel? It's just amazing because, you know, we were all very, very different and still managed to have one goal, one focus, and work hard, you know, towards that goal. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what Regimen did for all of us as well, was to teach us to take all these different personalities and, you know, have one common goal in mind. And, you know, that, of course, is to perform to the best of your ability. So, yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah. The other thing I remember particularly is I think we had a lot more leeway than the kids now do during practice, you know. When you watch them now, they do not talk. They do not move. Their water breaks are 12 seconds, you know, and we had a lot of time to cut up, if I remember correctly.
Not that we did, of course, but.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
No. Well, not any of us.
No, of course not.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And you're right. I think many people would be shocked. This like polished professional group of musicians would leave the field, take off the uniforms. And you're right. There's like every kind of, you know, rundown person in the world standing around worn out, dirty. And you never would, you know, that's one of the charms of drum corps, I think, is that somehow that all comes together to make this really amazing thing.
Right.
You know, and you put on that uniform and you become sort of this superhero. Or is that just me and my crazy? Am I over romancing it, guys? Yep.
I remember in, I think it was 81, we had a free day in Galveston.
Oh, yes. Oh my God. I remember barely.
Yeah. I got the bright idea that I needed to put Vaseline on my lips to keep him.
Oh, no.
I might as well have held a magnifying glass in front of him. Because the next day when we woke up and I tried to practice, my lips looked like two bananas on my face.
I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. They were swollen and bleeding, and I had to step out. Well, Dan Farrell came and got me. He said, we're going to save you. We need you in Denver. So he made me step out of the practice arc, and that was the first time I heard us. I was just amazed just at how beautiful it sounded. It was a real experience. It was really eye opening. I think, I thought maybe everybody should step out once and just listen to this. It was something.
That's amazing. The way you told that story, because I got to tell you guys, I have down on my notes here, the free day on the beach in Galveston, because that was one of my favorite memories. And Joe, you weren't the only one. The whole section did that. Like the whole French horn section
said we
had this idea that this was, all of Joe Valenzuela, you don't remember, you had the biggest lips of anybody.
Yes, I do actually. That's what I was saying.
I remember we thought we were going to protect our lips. So we all put Vaseline on the whole day. It's the stupidest thing anybody's ever done, I think. But I remember the next day, Joe Valenzuela, we pulled our horns out and you put your horn up in this little like, what's the only sound? You remember that, Joe?
That's my buzz. That's all I can get out right now.
That was the only sound that came out of your
horn. Yeah, I know. I remember. Yeah, it was awful.
We didn't have a show that night, did we? that day after?
I don't know, but I remember we were all completely could hardly play. Yeah. And I think Joe Silver, you were the one that was like bloody.
Yeah, his was the worst looking one of all.
Yeah, I could not resist playing in the show that night either. I got off of the field and, you know, Dan Farrell grabbed my arm and pulled me aside and said a couple of choice words. Followed by, I told you not to play. I can't help it. I can't.
From Dan Farrell, I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so Joe Silburn, do you remember when you and I spent the free day in San Francisco together?
Oh, it was a blast. The magic.
That was 19. Wasn't that 81 when the regiment went? We went to California in 81, right?
California, and then Montreal, of course.
Yeah, but I will never forget. Like, I had never been to San Francisco, but Joe, you and I had such a great time. Do you remember what we bought?
The costumes? sounded kind of bad, but.
Yeah, like we had these giant beards and crazy hats.
Duck Dynasty things, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Exactly. And I remember we thought we were so cool. I mean, looking back on this, and we were standing in the warm-up arc. And we had these beards on and we were playing in them.
Uh-huh. Oh my goodness.
And I don't remember anybody saying anything. I think we thought we were cool and everybody else was like, oh my God, what are these guys doing here?
Like that.
Do you remember that? Or am I?
You had a pith helmet and I had a Viking horns hat too, to go along with her.
Exactly.
We need to see some pictures. I think those need to surface.
I think it was Leanne or somebody took pictures. I don't remember.
Okay, well, if anybody knows of any, I would love to see one. I don't have a picture of that, but it was just crazy. Like, that was the thing for me. Like, that being in drum corps and being away from home and going all these exciting places and having all these friends, like, that was really new for me. You know, I grew up a pretty sheltered, quiet life, you know?
Yeah.
So this was quite an adventure.
So, like, the day that they told us to get half dressed for warm up.
And no, those pictures.
Yeah, I did see those.
Well, Joe, you're going to have to explain it.
Oh, we just, you know, we would get half dressed. They would tell us to get half dressed for a warm up. And we usually, that means, you know, your pants, t-shirt, you know, shoes and everything. Well, we kind of reversed it. We had our tops on and no pants.
Short shorts.
Yes, the 80s style short shorts.
Yes, yeah. The really short shorts.
That was classic.
Yeah,
we all remember, like, that was so, like, ridiculous. But that's one of those memories that, you know, here we are 30 years later, we're thinking about that.
Yeah. Well, you're sitting there in all seriousness playing Remington's Exercise to get warmed up. you look like... Yes, without pants on. It's so funny.
That was awesome.
Well, Tim, wasn't it Montreal that same year in 81 that you had the helmet mishap at prelims?
Oh, you're going to bring that up?
Loud?
Yeah, well, you saved my life, so you're going to be the hero of this story, but yeah, that is one of the most terrifying moments of my whole life.
Yeah, mine too.
So do you want to tell the story or shall I?
Why don't you go ahead and tell it? Because you're a good...
All right, I'll tell you what. I'll tell the first half and you can tell the second half.
Okay,
so we're at Montreal. It's prelims, which was the next to the last show of the year. And we weren't in the Olympic Stadium. It was at McGill, right?
Yes.
Anyway, so we're going through and at the end of the drum solo... Anyway, somehow we all moved into the circle... And horns go up toward the center. And I was so, like, overly enthused, which is something that, you know, young people do, I guess, that my helmet went flying off. And everything stops, of course, at the end of the drum solo. Boom. Everything freezes. But my helmet goes rolling, rolling, rolling away from me.
Yeah, I think it bounced a couple times in front of me, and I panicked.
Yeah, and, well, you panicked. I'm sitting there, and I'm naked, you know, like there's nothing on my head. And I'm thinking... My helmet went that way, but my drill takes me this other way. I was absolutely panicked. But what happened, Mindy, was that it rolled right near you.
Right.
So you can pick up the story from here.
And I, you know, waited till we moved again and just swiftly grabbed it with my hand and carried it, but I was thinking that it was, we had some death notes that we played. And
yes.
Okay. And so I thought, that's where I'm going to lunge towards Tim, because we could lunge any way we wanted to during the death notes. You know, correct. Do whatever we wanted. So I thought, I'm going to lunge toward Tim, and I hope he lunges towards me.
Are you kidding? I had a laser focus on that helmet.
And you
had saved my life. Yeah, so the death note came when you and I lunged right together, and you handed that baby to me.
Yep.
And then I remember the first few steps of the next drill move, I still remember throwing that on my head in the loudest clunk, clunk, clunk. You know how when you put those things on your head, like they echoed through your whole skull?
Yeah, well, they were hard fiberglass.
Yeah, they were heavy then.
Yep.
Yeah.
Super heavy.
Yeah, people don't know. Those were not the most comfortable things to have on your head.
Yeah, they used to let us take those off after the show, you know, if it was really hot. And I don't think they do that, but now those, you know, they have the lighter helmets. I like taking mine off because then I, you know, we didn't have the show bun back then for the girls. And I just had my hair lightly tied up. When I took my helmet off, it fell down. I'm like, yep, I'm a girl in this horn line. I was proud, man.
Oh, brother. All right. I had no idea that. So did you feel like out of place amongst all those men in the horn line?
I didn't feel out of place. I was proud that I could keep up with all you guys, you know?
Wow.
You know, just proud that I was able to produce the volume and play the music, blah, blah, blah. And I loved it, too, because I had a lot of brothers and potential dates, too.
Well, see, that just shocks me. I never even thought about that, Mindy, because it was just the opposite. I mean, in 78, it was all girls. And they could play, obviously, that first note of Firebird just always sends shivers down my spine. And when I got there in 79, I was just a little 14-year-old kid, and they thought that the girls would drum me right out of the line, because they didn't like to have boys there.
Interesting.
Oh, so the whole middle line section was girls but you?
It was me and Gary Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Face.
So how did you hang in there, Joe? What was your secret?
Well, I was pretty submissive. I did what I was told. I did not talk back.
That's always good advice when you're in that kind of situation.
Yep.
So I'm going to ask you this, Joe Silvern, or I guess both Joes could ask me. Wasn't there a year that there were seven French horns and we each took one of the names of the dwarfs? Does anybody else remember that but me?
I don't remember that.
I don't remember.
I vaguely remember something like that in 82.
I think it was 80, either one, 81 or 82. There were seven of us.
There was, and Keith, I believe, also played French horn. And there was,
oh, you know what? I know. Wait. It was 81. I know because Kevin Schussler was still marching because the next year he became instructor.
Yeah,
he was still marching because he was sleepy because, you know, he always had those sleepy
eyes. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Dave Poncar was Doc.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So do you remember which one you were, Joe Silver?
I would have had to have been Dopey, I would imagine. Or.
Oh, I definitely remember that I was happy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because everybody was always so annoyed because I always loved being at rehearsal so much.
Oh, you did. You were just like always you know, there were some days, when you just like, oh, Tim, come on.
Oh, really? Tell me about this annoyance.
Well, not so annoying so much, but you know, for example, you had been marching a year before I got there. So you were pretty familiar with everything. And here I come in, I don't know what's going on, you know, and I'm trying to learn from you guys. And you just come out there like, you know, nothing, no big deal. Okay, we're just running 10 laps and here we go. And let's do it again. And I'm like, oh, God. I mean, to this day, I still hate running.
Oh, gosh. No, speaking of running, there was, you know, when we would bring our horns down, if our mouthpieces would flip out, we would have to run.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I never had to do it, but we were in Allentown, and it was just crazy hot and humid and disgusting. And I think Kevin took us out for a big, long run that seemed totally inappropriate. on the
you
way
like
back. Yeah, not, I'm much better at it now, thank you. But on the way back, half of us had to stop and throw up and finally get back, get in the box and, you know, dress left and ready front. And I swear, this is the only time it happened to me. It was like in slow motion, that mouthpiece popped out and I could see it rotating like the Matrix, just boom, 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 down on the ground. And I look up and Steve Suslick is looking right at me and I'm like,
oh no.
Ah, no. And he said, take a tour.
After all that other running?
Yes. After all that other running, it was like, ugh, can
no
I just do the box? That's bad enough.
Yeah. I remember that too. All too well.
So Captain Bart got you.
Yes. Yeah, we had a
Captain
that's
Bart.
What I thought we used. Isn't that what we called him?
Yeah, he,
Captain Bart.
He was the best, in my opinion.
The best.
See, he scared me to death.
Well, he did, but he got us to focus and, you know, be so determined.
Yes, the best drill instructor by far.
Yeah, if I could get that focus back on some of my tasks today, oh, that'd be awesome.
Well, you need to call Steve and have him come over and yell at you. You know, what's really funny is when I, you know, there's this Facebook alumni page. If you guys are aware of that.
Yeah.
And so I think you guys, some of you guys have done this at least, but I filled out the, you know, the what are you doing now and memories kind of page and they posted it. But I, on there, I think I remember saying something about how terrified I was of Steve.
Yeah.
And he, it was so funny because he sent me a note like, oh gosh, I can't believe that, blah, 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 blah. Like he was so surprised.
Yeah.
I know. I was like, come on, really? Right. You're really surprised? But he was effective, no question about it.
Right.
Yeah. And the other one I remember is Buddha.
Yeah, I was just going to say Buddha. You know, what a great guy.
Yes.
He was a good guy. It's Mark Glasgow, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. He was, I think he was my favorite. Instructor.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah.
He was great because he would pull you aside and say, hey, you're doing this, try that. And,
right.
You know, real subtle instead of screaming you down in front of everybody, which was kind of Captain Bark style.
Right.
I guess they each got results in their own way.
Yep.
So what did you guys think of the new Spartacus when it appeared in 2008?
I thought it was a beautiful show, obviously. I'm, you know, when I heard they were doing Spartacus, I'm, you know, you get a certain picture in your head and you're thinking, oh, I know that. Good. I'll be able to hum along with the music and I'll know all the moves and everything. And then it's like, no, it's not supposed to go like that, but this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So kind of mixed feelings, but I thought it was just spectacular.
See, I had not kept up with drum corps for a long time. You know, a couple years after I aged out, I'd go to some shows, but then I got married, had family, and 2008 was, my son was a senior in high school, so we were busy with all of his activities. And I didn't even realize that they won until I ran into a kid at the good local Goodwill that had on a Phantom Regiment shirt. And I, of course, immediately went up to him and accosted him and, you know, said, you know, did you march or are you just a fan? He said, oh, I marched. And I said, well, how'd you guys do this year? And he said, very humbly, we won. And I about knocked that kid over with a hug. and so then I went home and watched the show online and I thought it was awesome. I mean, the power in it, you know, it was just exciting. I loved it. And some of the parts were the same, not, you know, not all the music, but some of them were similar.
Yeah, you know what was funny was seeing, it seems like I saw it at the theater also. I went there for the viewing, the cinema viewing, and one of the guys we marched with was there, you know, Albert Lowe. And it was kind of funny to hear his take on things, and I'm sitting there going, ow, you know this, you know.
Right.
It was pretty cool.
Was he judging that night?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think they just had him kind of as a commentator, running commentator for kind of, you know, what was going on with the scoring. Because if you remember, Phantom was behind, and they would move up a little bit with each of the prelims and finally overtook BD there at the end, our always arch nemesis that we could never seem to overcome. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
What about you, Joe Valenzuela?
I enjoyed the music. What I really enjoyed was not only the storytelling, but I enjoyed that they were able to use other music besides the actual Spartacus music that I think in some ways could give it more of a of the storyline that they were actually looking for. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, you want to use as much of the music, obviously, as you can, but I think they were able to use some other music from other composers that told that storyline a little bit clearer and a little bit better. And I think really within the past few years, I think they've been able to do that pretty successfully for the most part. But yeah, I mean, that was great music, and that Tina Stetta piece, I thought it was awesome, the piano concerto. Yeah. So yeah, it's good music.
See, it's interesting because I think you're totally right about everything you just said. But what was frustrating to me was, you know, I was so like, had such ownership of the show from when we marched it 2 years that when I saw it live in Atlanta that year, like I was so disappointed that they didn't play the whole score. Like I was so excited that I was going to hear like a modern interpretation of the same score. Mm-hmm. Now looking back on it now, I realized the brilliance of the way they did combine different pieces and put it together. But I remember that first day, I was like, wait, they're not playing it. Mm. You know, so but that was just my reaction being hardcore old school guy.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yep.
Joe Valenzuela, have you followed drum corps all these years since you've been a band director?
Well, off and on. There's some years that I've been, actually with, I was talking to Mindy about, that's what she asked me if I was going, to DCI show this year. Cause the only times I've been to a DCI finals, was in, 96, 89, when they came in first or second, it was the only time that I've actually been to a finals. So, you know, I guess in that sense, I think I'm a pretty good luck charm for them.
Okay, so we need to get you a plane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those were both good years.
Yeah, yeah. And 2006 and obviously 2008. So, yeah, I've tried to keep up as much as I can. You know, that's also during our summer band program. So it's difficult to go to contests other than the ones in your area. And the one thing that I am lucky is that, Laredo is close to San Antonio. So we have the Southwest Regional there. So that's a good, for most, well, all of the cores are there, really, all of the top cores. So get to see them at least once there.
That's nice.
Awesome. So did you guys keep very much in touch with people before Facebook? Because certainly when Facebook happened, all of a sudden I was getting back in touch with guys like you guys that I hadn't talked to in a while. Did you stay in touch with very many people before that?
I had not. I had kept in touch with Ashley Tierney, who was in the Color Guard, you know, but mostly just Christmas card, that kind of a thing. But that was about it. So I was thrilled when Facebook and all these, you know, PR faces were cropping up.
Yeah. How about you, Joe Silber?
Well, I went on the alumni page and I grabbed a bunch of emails and I, you know, tried to not look like a stalker and still try to make contact with a few folks. And who knows if those email addresses were correct. I had some correspondence with Julie Webster. I have, you know, still have pretty close friendship with Dana Peelin. He was I was in his wedding. He was in my wedding, and Dan Anderson, we were in each other's wedding there also. And, in fact, I'll be staying at, Dana's house for the, Rockford show this year when I go up. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. You guys were great friends. I remember that very well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Neat. How about you, Jovanzuela?
Pretty much kind of like Mindy, you know, just, Christmas cards, that type of thing. Although with, you know, this Facebook thing, it certainly has opened up a whole new side to this. And, you know, I got in touch with you as well, Tim, a few years ago.
Yeah.
So, got to take my group to Disney in Florida. And yeah, I got to hang out a little bit. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I live down here in Orlando, of course. So, Joe sort of escaped from the band trip and we went ahead. Had dinner, and that was wonderful to see you, Joe.
Yeah, it was great. Great time there.
Well, I love what you said, Joe Silburn, earlier about how comfortable we all feel with each other. It's really like, you know, it's sort of like we went through this incredible experience together for years. And I don't know. I mean, I just feel like I really know you all, and I do feel incredibly comfortable. It's quite an interesting phenomenon.
Yeah, yep. I agree. I think it's wonderful. I feel like anybody that I marched with, I would do anything for, and they would do anything for me, still to this day.
Mm-hmm. It's a special fraternity.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. It's kind of like a fraternity sorority in a way. Because you do remember all of these people, and you know, I have the same thing here. You know, if one of them called me, needed something, if I could do it, I'll be there.
Well, I think part of it is what we all went through together, you know, like out there all day working together, you know, eating, traveling, like you're just really living with this group of people. And I also think it's because of that. Don't you think it has something to do with that time in your life too, like the age that we were?
Probably.
Yeah, I think that might be a little bit part of it, but we were, you know, we lived a lot of life in a very compressed amount of time. We were all run through all of the emotions, through all kinds of physical stresses, but the emotional stress with the competition and the practice and just getting everything right. And then that cycle of after the stress, you know, after a show, getting on the bus and just cracking up. Or, you know, on a free day, just letting loose. Everybody all has the same agenda, and it's really emotionally bonding. I think that's the main thing.
Yeah, very well said. Well, I think we probably need to start wrapping this up. I mean, I feel like I want to sit here and talk to you guys.
Yeah.
For hours and hours, but this has been very cool. I'm going to let you each sort of have a final word or anything you want to say to any of us or anybody that might be listening or whatever. So Mindy, I'll go with you first. Anything you want to say in sort of in closing or any final memory or something you want to say?
Just that I'm honored that you asked me to participate in this. And these were, you know, three of the best years of my life. And I would love to have you three sitting at my kitchen table someday chatting in person. We've got two extra guest rooms. You're always welcome. So come on up.
All right. Maybe we can make that happen.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
I'm game.
Joe Valenzuela, what do you have any final thoughts?
Well, you know, it's being a band director, you see drum corps from a completely different angle than I did when, you know, you marched. I don't guess it's one's any better than the other. Although I would agree with Mindy, you know, the stuff we went through did give us a certain, you know, way of being able to deal with things in our life as well as with each other. And, you know, that's something that it's very hard to come by, especially with any kind of activities nowadays. The drum corps activity, I think, does that very well. You know, and Mindy, I would love to take you on your offer. I would also like to, you know, sit down and talk with you guys some more, because it's truly amazing, you know, that after all these years we can just you know, get on the phone, get on Skype and just start talking. And really, it's like no time has flown by. Awesome. And that's a really cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Joe Silburn, I'm going to let you have the last word. Any final thoughts?
Wow, that's a lot of pressure. but yeah, I can't disagree with anybody, and nor would I want to, that, you know, I'll never forget the cast of characters, especially those in our group, that, you know, in our section, and, don't want to be too emotional or anything, but I was pretty excited when Tim put this together, and, you know, just want to say that I love you guys, and, I hope to see everybody soon, as soon as possible. You know, we've got a couple of extra bedrooms here in Dallas too, if anybody wants to come to a Dallas show and hang out. We've had, reunions here before, for drum corps folks, and you guys would be more than welcome. It'd be a blast. I promise.
We'll have to do a little tour, go from Orlando to Laredo to Dallas and then up to the Midwest.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. I agree with you guys. I think we need to figure this out. So we'll have to do that. But thank you guys so much for taking time to talk and reminisce tonight. And this has been a real joy to be in touch with you guys again. So thank you so much for doing this.
Total pleasure, Tim. Total pleasure.
Sure thing.
Thanks again to our sponsor, Etymotic, found at etymotic.com, with a special marching roundtable discount at etymotic.com/marchrt. Thanks to our editor, Aaron Osborne, and thanks again to Mindy, Joe, and Joe for joining me tonight. Our memories of marching in the Phantom Regiment are really precious to us all.